Control Talk Now, your smart business video cast and podcast for the week ending October 29th, 2018. My name is Eric Stromquist, and this is episode 289. So if you're like me, you're wondering what my co-host and yours, the man, the myth, the legend, the one, the only, Kenny Smyers, is going to dress up for Halloween now. So welcome to the show, Kenny, and what's the costume this year?
I think we have a swashbuckler stuff. Pirates. We're going to a Halloween party, and Rita has a nice, I'm trying to think what it is, you know, from it came from the Pirates of the Caribbean. So I got a swashbuckler hat and a nice little vest, but not too much, not too jazzy. Rita's got the jazzy outfit. She's looking like one of those, 17th century, fine ladies.
Nice, nice. Well, of course, translation. Pirates of the Caribbean, that means Kenny's going as Johnny Depp and Rita's going as Penelope Cruz. So there you go. So, well, cool stuff, buddy.
I wish.
I don't know about you, man. I'm a little bleary-eyed. We were down in Orlando all last week covering the Honeywell Momentum event. So, dude, let's start with some shout-outs to our folks at Honeywell. They did a marvelous job, I thought.
Well, they sure did. You know, anytime you put an event on like this, there's a tremendous amount of heavy lifting that goes on. You know, the logistics, I mean, getting everything down, getting all the organization together, the speakers, the breakouts, you know, and you got to deal with certain adversity. People can't make it the last minute. And but it's almost like a conducting an orchestra, you know, and you've got to have, you know, different sections going on simultaneously and to bring them all together and deliver the effect and impact in a successful event requires some serious orchestration. And I think that Mark Schlatteroff and Carl Sherry did that remarkably well.
Fantastic job.
And then, you know, and then the dynamics. I thought Mike Keller and Michael Garceau, two top executives taking the floor, dealing with, you know, the corporate issues of the day and, you know, and dealing with them head on so that it really started the conference off on very good, solid footing. So there wasn't any dodging going on. This was straight confrontation, dealing with the good and the bad and the ugly, and then putting together the incredible show behind that because, you know, I mean, it was 2 days of intense meetings, breakouts. I mean, we had a masterful, you know, Terry Jones for the motivational speaker. Please see our Control Trends post for the, you know, we say that Honeywell Momentum Day One opens with an innovation evangelist, Terry Jones. Disruption and innovation are two sides of the same coin. I mean, this guy was one of the most electric people I've ever seen. He's 70 years old, and you think he acts and behaves like he's 35 or 36, and he's so full of charming anecdotes. I mean, this guy started up two companies, Travelocity and Kayla.
Well, hang on. He started as an assistant at a travel agent.
I know. So you talk about
a
vertical ascent.
Yeah, minimum wage job to was one of me sold for close to $1 billion, right?
Both of them were billion-dollar enterprise. One was like 1.4, and I think the other one was like 4.6. But the point is that he took them from scratch as a founder, and then you know left them at the height, the epitome of their success. I mean,
well,
so a billion.
Right. The point to me is. Because part of what he was teaching about was innovation. You got a guy who actually did it.
Right.
A guy who actually took some risk and I think really understands the chaos that and what chaos and disruption is about and where the opportunities lie in that. So I think if you were at the Momentum Conference, you had the ability to sort of share in his wisdom. And we're hopefully going to get him on the show because I went up to him afterwards and said, hey, man, we got to get you on our show.
Well, I mean, it was remarkable that he shared. We put on the Control Trends post that he shared some of the secret sauce know-how that built these two startups into billion-dollar companies, and some of them were really incredibly interesting. I mean, you wouldn't have expected that early. I mean, he was way ahead of the power curve, and as far as you know, the two pizza meeting, for instance, you could never have a group of people larger than two pizzas could feed. If you did, your group was too big; it was unwieldy.
As an Amazon. Thing. The Amazon rolled two pizzas. So. Although you and I think a two pizza meeting's just the right size for the two of us.
Well, one for you and one for me, but I'm just saying he brought all those anecdotes in succession. So it was 90 minutes of pure insight and inspiration. It was well done. And then of course the Mike, the M&M show took over afterwards. Mike Keller and Mike Garceau got up there and I think really did they shared the stage and they shared the passion. They talked the new day in Honeywell. So we had, you know, some great themes unfolding. We had the momentum in the terms of a verb, you know, gathering momentum, you know, and get momentum.
You're connected. And your connect.
So, yeah, and connections. You got connections, baby. But so I don't think momentum's a verb, but it was just
Well, then, I want to make a comment real quick about the combination of Mike Garceau and Mike Keller, because these guys, I mean, I think 2 days or the day before Momentum was supposed to start, they have an executive shakeup. So these guys stepped up to the plate. They owned up to it. You got Mike Keller, who's been around Kenny in the business as long as we have. He's been on the DDC side back when Honeywell first started bringing DDC through distribution. He was part of that. He went over to the home side, and now he's back. So you got sort of the voice of experience and the voice of the past, and you know, just a great guy. I can't think of anybody I know that does not like Mike Keller. He's a straight shooter, very knowledgeable, brilliant executive, understands our industry, understands two-step distribution, understands systems integrators.
Right.
You bring Mike Garceau on to who anyone brought in. Now, Mike comes from outside our industry.
I think 3M.
3M and several other companies. So you've got a guy who really, I think, understands, you know, innovation and delivering and keeping good on your promises, but he comes from another culture. So you're marrying those two cultures together. And I can't tell you how impressed I am with Mike Garceau. I mean, he brings a different feel and a different vibe. And again, I mean, I think he made a huge impression on the crowd because he was humble enough to get up there and just say, hey, you know, we had a couple of things that kind of broke, a couple of missteps, and we're going to get it fixed. But, you know, coming from, you know, it had a great feel to it. I think those two guys together, and I think Peter Phelan is the guy that's going to be stepping in to Thurman's job. But I think it's a fresh perspective. I feel like they're restarting and reigniting. And, of course, they have some great products, too, that they rolled out.
Well, yeah, but I think, too, as they told about the reshaping of Honeywell and brought about, you know, through analysis of the markets and better serving budgets being better served at outcomes, Resideo is a done deal now. So they were able to reshape the investments within Honeywell to really support the building business that we're in. And that to me means that when you're not competing for dollars against you know, some entity that's trying to compete with Nest and Ecobee and all those thermostats, and they were taking maybe you know, the lion's share of the marketing and the lion's share of the technology because it was so important to get there quickly, and play some catch up there. But now he, as Mike Keller said, we're now looking at a very focused development of this business, the buildings business, and being connected. So everything's about data.
Right, Kenny, and let me just hop in real quick before I forget this thought. I think one of the really cool things, and this might be the only time in history where this could have happened, and we'll probably see more of that, but you know, if you think about Honeywell, the conglomeration of Honeywell, I mean, they're doing everything from aerospace to, you know, allied products and so on and so forth. But now what they're doing is consolidating some of this engineering, especially the software type things, and they're bringing that across multiple platforms. So instead of having 10 different software development teams, you know, that they're truncating that down. So I think that our industry is going to benefit. When we talk about a single pane of glass, for example, our industry is going to benefit from all that technology that they've already put into aerospace, right? They're going to be sharing that technology. So I like, and I thought I would never say this because, you know, kind of one of the jokes with Honeywell is every time you go to a meeting, they've reorganized. And sometimes we thought they were just reorganizing to reorganizing, but this reorganization makes a ton of sense to me. And I think it's going to lead to some very tangible benefits to Honeywell's customers.
Well, I agree. And then to your point, it wasn't just, you know, the corporate information worked out real well because it set the pace. In other words, cleared the, you know, any confusion. The second day, we'll go into just yet, but they also bring, you know, how the logistics got solved. But I think going to the products that they introduced there, the new Cyper model controllers, the 10, the 30, and the 50. The 30 was formerly known as the F1 controller. And the 50 was formerly known as the Eagle AX or Eagle N4 controller. And what we're seeing now is a option, again, focused on the race to the small space. In other words, you got an Edge 10 controller called the Cyper 10. And what this thing does is it gives you very low cost start point to deal with applications that you had to go bigger or you couldn't deal with them. So we're seeing the contractors, Honeywell contracts will have options to go big, you know, so that as you price up projects, you know, it used to be you would count a web-enabled controller would cost X amount of money. There was you know, software maintenance agreements. There was things in there that for a small job you couldn't meet the budget. Now you can. Now there's a controller that's fully Niagara enabled, has the full Niagara stack in it, and you could do incredible things with very low cost controllers. So I mean, it's great for the industry. It's great. Right. It's great for people that provide solutions. I mean, because you don't have to spend the barrier of cost. The sometimes we would say, you know, you had to spend $5,000 to get the first sensor on the wall. You know, you had to get this, you had to do this, you had to do this, and before you could put a sensor on the wall and connect to it, you had to have, you know, an investment there. And so typically it was for a medium or large size project. Now we're seeing deliberate aim at making these solutions available to small sized applications, small buildings.
Very much so. So Honeywell's product portfolio is very scalable now. And the other big sort of topic of the week was the IP controllers. And you know, why is IP important? And all these controllers are IP based as well. And you know, we had Phil Zito down there teaching people about why IP was important and what you could do with it. And I think the short story, Kenny, is at the end of the day, it's you got a bigger pipe, you can push more data through. So I think we're going to see IP controllers from now on. I don't think that's going backwards. Do you?
Well, no. You'll see some headwinds against IP controllers because people get into sweet spots. And MSTP is preferred by some people. But what you'll see then is a lot more of these, you know, what do you call it? The contemporary control style MSTP, the IP routers that's going to take the MST line and pump it out IP. And I'm looking at some of the notes and everything about, you know, the rapid spanning tree protocol. In other words, this thing's very well engineered. John Hotze and
Lou Jones,
you know, teamed up. They said that this probably was born 7-8 years ago, and this finally it was an ultimate fruition of their efforts and energies. And they were recognized, and rightfully so, for the absolute dedication they put into this because they believe that you could have leapfrogged many, many competitors. And the IP is definitely, as Phil Zito said, when you deal with pipelines and data and whatever, you have to have the bigger pipeline. The MSTP, it's just by its actual physical, what it is limited. And now you want to see people take a building and instead of running a separate IP or Ethernet for the cameras, power over the Ethernet, you can now take the IP controller and use one of those you know, connections for your camera. Now it won't power it up. The unit won't power that camera up. So you're gonna have to put some power, you know, somewhere on the network there. But it can bring that into your network, so you don't have to run, you know, a different Ethernet for your video. So certain cameras will be, you know, it'll be limited by, you know, the cameras. Sure, you can't take the top of the line camera and run it through this. But you, for most applications, for small, medium sized buildings where you want to get some visual assessments in that space, this is a great solution. Because many, many applications now, these cameras are so small and so you know, affordable, but they weren't connectable, you know. So now we're seeing this as an option. And meters is the same way. One of the big things, a guy from New York, where the metering is you know, far more advanced than say Western Pennsylvania. You know, we still we do it when we have to, but we don't lead with a metering application. Well, these guys said this IP controller is going to give him advantages over his competition now because he can bring that meters into the controller, i.e., the network, without running separate separate communication. So.
Well,
a lot of excitement.
No, a lot of excitement. And I think it also, you know, sort of indicates that as we've been talking, the role of a systems integrator is expanding, right? And I think these IP controllers, you know, are going to allow you to do a lot more with the same sort of controllers. And I would caution that what we were hearing there is if you're not going to do this, some kid in Silicon Valley probably is, because the IP then brings them in and gives them some abilities that they might not have had before. But the other thing I wanted to acknowledge real quick too, Kenny, is Honeywell for turning John Hutchie and Lou Jones loose on this. You know, they're giving them free rein to develop this as their baby. You can sort of see it. You take a lot of pride in it. But, you know, sort of having that longevity of those two guys working with that product for 8 years, I think is going to, you know, foster really good results.
Yeah, so I mean, day one, you know, we kind of bypassed the reception. I had a really nice reception out there by the pool. They brought up the bring your own shirt to work day, your favorite team Sure. So we saw that was a great indication. I mean, when you want to see where people are from and they have the loyalty to their sports teams, it was an incredible, some of the pictures that were being taken. You had everything from the Philadelphia Phillies, the New York Jets, Dallas Cowboys,
hockey teams, Steelers, basketball teams.
It was just kind of cool because it just shows how, what a role that sports is, the opium for the masses. And I'm no different. It was just people had pride. So it was a nice reception by the pool. Go to day one, big work day, a lot of breakouts, a lot of really, really good stuff, covering all the, was several tracks. One of them was like a developer's track. One was a business track, how to take a $50,000 job, make it into a $500,000 job. The newest N4 security, we had some great breakouts that involved Laura Kevitt and Roger Rebenack and one of their customers that took a job where the HVAC was shrunk, but the security side of the project tripled, and they wound up spending the buy was bigger on the security side than it was the HVAC side. They had to give up some spiders to some OEM equipment, but the progress is made. It seemed like there was a giant ice cube that was blocking progress, and the big red pipeline has finally thawed out and melted and gone away, so that the releases are coming out here, and it's a great time for it because the budgets that in our area, and I'm sure around the country, are either October or 1 January, and so the having these in place and having the ability to bid with competent equipment, competent controllers, or controllers that meet the specifications, and that is they're open, and they have to have Niagara, and they have to be able to do this. Plus, you're competing against some really good competitors out there. I mean, this has been a year. 2018 has been a year where we've seen some manufacturers really deliver hard on some really great products. And so I think what we come into is that co-opetition model again, where instead of being mercantilism, the only way for you to get a bigger share of my the market is to take my share of the market for me. Well, guess what? I think this is an opportunity now where people can point the cannons out and enlarging the markets, because you don't trip over everybody. You can have your own...
Make
the pie markets bigger, because our government tells us that there's so much opportunity out there. What is your problem, guys and girls? Let's get with the program. Get out there, bring these buildings under control, and help us save energy and help us be more efficient, because we're not building any more power plants. And then the other thing was, too, that you see the market stratify. So not everybody is capable of doing that master systems integrator job, and they don't really want to. I mean, because they don't want to do fire and security. They don't want to have to deal with the IT issues and the network issues. But so when you get a product that lets you do VAVs, rooftops, air handlers, fan coils, heat pumps, and let you do them well, and then have the inherent embedded tools that give you the graphics, that give you some analytics, not a whole lot. You might only want to do 4 or 5 points or whatever. And then what's even more remarkable is that you could take it to the cloud, where the other third-party applications can really do some justice with that data and do runtimes and do, kind of maintenance calls and diagnostics. Right. I mean, so I'm pretty excited that
I think what you're saying too, Kenny, is there's something for everybody there in terms of product or opportunity regarding smart buildings, saving energy, and having the spaces be better occupied. But we had, I think, 3 posts regarding the Honeywell Momentum. We did a day one recap, a day two recap.
Right.
We had Mike Arceau and Mike Keller.
2018 Momentum Executives Recap.
Yeah, we got that too. So anyway, go to Control Trends, check that. We got some more posts that we'll be posting next week around Momentum. So we've got some more to show you. But all in all, it was a great, great conference. I think the 400 plus people that were there were very happy about it. And Kenny, we got our first guest teed up, and somebody that Honeywell is very familiar with. How about introducing her?
Love to. Tree Sullivan used to be buildingcontext.me, and she was our Silicon Valley West Coast expert who gave us insight that we didn't know, and basically brought us on board with contextualization and a lot of neat terms that came to be commonplace terms now. So Therese was always on the cutting edge. Now Therese is in a new capacity. I'm afraid, Therese, I don't want to blunder this, so we're going to ask you to introduce yourself in your new capacity.
Right. I took a job over the summer with Tritium, and I am Tritium's customer marketing leader. And under that falls marketing communications and some biz dev, some product marketing. But usually you see California, me in California, my California kitchen. But right now I am in Richmond, and behind me is the rolling hills of Virginia.
So that's not Zuma Beach back there, huh?
That's West Derry. That's West Derry Avenue. I recognize that anyway.
West Derry Avenue, yes.
I've been in that building, yes.
Dude, Therese, we are so excited for you, and congratulations to Tritium, because talk about somebody, just get somebody who knows some stuff, because you know some stuff and you know some people. You used to be the queen of Silicon Valley. Now it looks like you could be the queen of Richmond, too.
I don't know if they'll give me a crown in Richmond, but I am really enjoying myself, and it does feel like a very good fit. And I'm off, you know, off the blocks and running, because there's so much to do here. And there have been a few switches, and I didn't know I was going to inherit the Marcom function too. But now, lo and behold, here I am behind the console of communications. So
that's awesome.
So it's a lot of fun. And I do know what I'm talking about, so that makes it a lot of fun. It's always fun to start a new job, which feels like an old, I won't call it an old shoe, but that's what I mean. You know, like, oh, I got this.
Well, it's so great. So great, Therese. And of course, one of the things we loved about talking to you is, you know, you had a unique perspective, you know, from Silicon Valley, obviously, and, you know, with your background, that go to Control Trends and check it out, because Therese has done a little bit of this and a little bit of that, but done it very, very, very well. So I tell you what, If you had to make like a super salad that was going to be perfect in the position you're at, it would have had all the ingredients to make up your background.
Sure. I mean, Silicon Valley was another way of saying a software company, and because software is eating the world. And Tritium, of course, is a software company. And Richmond is another tech hub. And I haven't moved here. You will still see me sometimes from California. I just happen to be here right now. But it's very high tech. So,
well, what you know, because again, you know, now that you're in Richmond, what are some things that you discovered about Tritium that maybe you didn't know, maybe we don't know, that sort of surprised you to the upside? I mean,
well, I think people think about Tritium about the talking heads, you know, who we've seen on the podiums at RealCom and at their own Niagara summits, and those, there's been some changes over the years. Recent years especially. But what I'm finding when I stepped in here is there is a core group of people, a lot of really young people. You know, we talk about young guns. I have a whole list of for the Control Trends ballots. Nice. I got to write them in now because I didn't get them in soon enough. Of young gun people that are doing development, that are doing tests. You guys met Kevin Smith at when you were at Honeywell Momentum. Sure,
he knocked it out of the park, by the way.
He knocked it out of the park. I mean, we could not, Niagara Security couldn't have better leadership than Kevin Smith. Mike Westerfield in product marketing, that I guess he was at the last Haystack, but
we met him.
Yeah, Mike, I love and he, in one of the Matrix organizations, I am on the product marketing team, so do a lot of work with Mike Westerfield. Just a lot of young people.
Maybe this is a good time with all the young people. You know, you've got an idea that I think is a marvelous idea. You know, something near and dear to our heart, which is podcasting. Tell our community about what you think about podcasting. Let's get some feedback, see if you think it's a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, the Niagara community is such a vibrant community. And of course, because so many buildings, I think we're reaching 1 million Jace instances or something around the world, are building on Niagara, that we have a chance to interview more of the companies and partners that are developing. I was thinking about doing a podcast, which would be part of the Eric and Kenny Building Information Podcast Network, that would be called Niagara Partners, and do interview some of our partners and
maybe some of the.
We know one of the things, and it's not my quote, it's something I heard in the last couple of days, that probably the person that has developed the most exciting new app on top of Niagara hasn't even been born yet.
Nice.
That that people are building on Niagara at leaps and bounds, and I want to interview them and find out why they chose Niagara, what path brought them to this part of the buildings market, and beyond buildings, you know, plants, industry, that are using Niagara for their framework for the IoT.
Well, we'd love for you to maybe maybe you could also highlight some of your younger employees, younger team members up here at Niagara as well. Because
I'd love to have a Kenny. Like maybe I'll be there, maybe I'll drop out, but be the host, but also have a side person and interview one of or have one of those people also on the podcast every week, asking those basic questions because they're so curious too. They haven't been out as much as I have to all the AHRs and RealCom shows and Haystack Connections shows, that they don't know the people and they would love to be on these kind of calls talking to the partners. How are they using Niagara?
We'll help you any way we can with that, Therese, because I think it's a marvelous idea.
Those are one of the new ideas I'm bringing to Tritium.
There you go. There you go. Well, listen, let's shift gears a little bit because you guys are hot and heavy on the edge.
The edge, yes.
And I don't mean just, I mean literally and figuratively. So
the paperwork just came through on the Niagara Edge TM. And yeah, that was like one of the biggest things I've been involved in the last 4 weeks is the launch, the availability of the Edge 10 to our partner network and to the Vicon channel. And I got to get out there, of course, before the product got to this point, it went through a beta period. And I've got to go around and talk to beta customers. How are they using these new Edge devices? And I thought I knew the answer, but until you really talk to customers, you don't understand how valuable these things in and how it really does change thinking.
Okay, listen, we've talked about the Edge a bit. Kenny, why don't we give our control trainers community a little stable datum about what the Edge is, and then Therese, then we want to cycle right back to you and tell us some of the things you're learning. Kenny will tell us what we know so far, and then let's add to that conversation.
Well, what we're seeing, historically, there's people that come out with the trend-setting controllers that change the industry. And so when Niagara came out with the Jace, the original versions, we have four Jaces now, we have the N4 being the most recent one. But we're seeing how the markets are dictating smaller, faster controllers. So the Edge devices that came out, when they first came out, they ported Niagara to their particular controllers. And there was a few of them. But this is the first time we see a full deployment of Niagara in a controller that can do basically anything you can conceive of. So, I mean, our typical applications of rooftop units, air handling units, you know, plant controls. But now we have these formidable controllers, this Edge 10 controller that can go out at the lowest realm or rank of your architecture and control a particular piece of equipment and provide immediate analytics, immediate information. It can sort the data out that's critical and bring it back as actionable right away. Instead of, the concept we were brought up on was that we take these things to the cloud. We take the data and we get it up to the cloud as easily and cheaply, as fast as possible. But that was more than we bargained for. There's some cost, there's some time, some latency issues that are all alleviated by this Edge controller. So the Edge controller became one of our top trends in 2018. And we've seen several breakthroughs, but I think Teresa is going to tell us why this Edge 10 is even more special than the initial iterations of the Edge devices, because it has the full Niagara complement. So that means you're talking analytics, you're talking, the ability to do engineering and Therese, what else can this thing do that makes it so special?
Well, talking to the beta customers, some of the biggest things I took away is it is a single tool infrastructure that you have. The common scenario is you might have an energy management company that you're working with, but you're trying to pull a full portfolio into a central console to look, manage and monitor energy usage. That's been the classic thing for the 15 to 17 years I've been in this energy efficiency management area. That's been the thing, like let's see how all our properties are doing. But that's only often been rolled out to your high performance buildings. It's a functionality that your LEED certified buildings get, but that you always forget the small buildings, the older buildings, you'll get to those someday. And so they have a view of their portfolio that's only of their their first buildings. And it is up till now, you know, how many years have we been doing this? Like, it feels like decades. It hasn't gotten rolled out to the other more pedestrian buildings. And finally, with the Edge 10, there, I think that's one of the original, the initial pushes that we're really going to feel, that the economics are there to put Edge 10s, and the 10 is about the number of input outputs. It's a perfect fit for just getting the data out of some of those buildings that might, everybody might use a lot, but they're 60s era concrete tilt-up kind of buildings, or historical buildings that you just didn't know how you were going to get the energy data, just starting with the energy data out of. And now with the Edge 10, there's an economical way to do that. And it's economical in terms of the point fit, and it's economical in terms of, well, you've already got people trained and certified on how to read Niagara, and you can bring it into the same console, the same one pane of glass to monitor and manage that. So I think that's one of the great big things is all of a sudden for the rest of the portfolio.
Yeah, because you guys have had the enterprise nailed for forever, and now you got the Edge. So you guys.
Yeah, I mean, maybe one, you know, the number of buildings where it made sense, the ROI. Although we get the ROI for doing this in this, you know, this new retrofit or new construction, but all those garages, parking lots. And then when you extend that onto something like a school district that wants to monitor all of its identical or nearly identical school buildings, the Edge 10 again is this perfect fit. Because another thing the Edge 10 has is, which is a change to the Niagara, coincidentally with the rollout of the Edge 10, you have Niagara 4.7, and this is actually true as of 4.6, that we have a templating service, which we call Bulk Deploy, but it's that idea of you fix one Edge device, you program the logic, and then you use that as a template, and you clone it onto all the other identical devices. So if it was you had one Edge 10 to run a particular school building, or the chiller on a particular school building, then you had 10 other school buildings, 10 other Edge 10s. It all gets programmed.
Well, I wanted to do a better job, Erica, revisit that stable datum, because I was trying to give our Niagara community and Control Towers community are very, very much the same. The people, like you said, it's probably the world standard now on open architecture. I mean, Niagara
for sure.
It's showing up in the specs, and now we have the Haystack templating coming in. But just to go back to the very beginning basic about the Vicon Edge 10 controller, or the Edge 10 controller, drive applications such as the zone temperature control, the operating of fan coil units, single stage air handling units, water source heat pumps, and more. The Edge 10 controller runs the full Niagara stack. And then to talk about the IOs, 10 points on board on the actual controller for IO, but you can also expand that with the IO R34, which is the remote expansion capability. So what we're talking about is that the Edge 10 controller licensing supports 3 devices and 50 total points to harness the full power of Niagara at the Edge. So that's the stable data. And this is one bad, what do you call it, controller.
Bama jamma.
Yeah.
Bama jamma controller.
And the price point.
It can be expanded.
Mm-hmm. And the price point is unbelievably competitive. So it's the real McCoy. It's going to do very well, I'm sure. So I feel a little bit better about the stable datum input there. Now we can talk about all the crazy applications, because once you have this and you have Niagara, you're truly only limited by whatever web services you want to use, however you want to tie those into, you know, your operations and how you're making things off and on. And of course the data, I mean,
and as we brought up with Kevin Smith, the security.
Oh, that's, yeah.
You know, here we just have such a team of people who are constantly looking at the latest vulnerabilities and keeping things up to spec. And that idea of, first of all, where the real investment comes in training. And then any of these kind of properties we're talking about, universities, the MUSH, medical buildings, universities, hospitals, government mandates, you know, that these things also be secure. So with Niagara, you've got that assurance, and you've got certified people because it's already the standard. So it's Medcalf's law. I mean,
Well, Therese, you mentioned you've been out talking to customers about it. What's the reception been? And you mentioned that they were sort of surprising you how they're using it. Can you share some of that with us?
We're getting out into me. I liked the one customer was using it in a manufacturing plant, but it's on the air handler units. It's just the perfect fit for the smaller type buildings, and that was kind of a surprise to me.
Well, Teresa, as Eric and I, as the race to the small space, we can help you get the real accurate information. And we found out from the Department of Energy, it was about a month ago, or probably 2 months now, that 80% of the buildings out there are undermanaged. They're underserviced by technology. Right. And let's face it, the former versions of Tritium's Niagara weren't for the meek. In other words, they required a substantial amount of investment and training. And so now that you have those, it's like having a router already in the place. You can take advantage of that technology because it's already deployed. So now that you have a great cast of Niagara partners and integrators, they needed a better tool to get to those medium and smaller sized applications where they were so accustomed to deploying a regular JACE and the cost associated with that. This gives everybody, there's no excuses now where you can't go into a 10,000 square foot, 5,000 square foot, 15,000 square foot of any kind of garage or library, a parochial school that's broke.
Building or shop floor manufacturing type place. So you've got equipment. And another thing that I guess I found out, you might have original monitoring control devices with a particular kind of air handler rooftop unit, and you're unsure that you're getting good data off it anymore, and then you had to look at a different interface to monitor it. Now you can stick an Edge 10 on that to do like a swap out of the old controls for Niagara controls, and you can bring it into the same infrastructure, the same Niagara framework, and that's a real advantage to people.
Very cool.
Yeah. So, as you guys know, I got to get back to California today.
You're going from coast to coast. You're the original jet setter executive.
I'm the original jet setter executive now. It's a rainy day. There might be some delays, but I don't think there are. I think that plane might be taking off on time this afternoon.
Let's get you out here. Listen, Therese, you're going to be at the Control Trends Awards as well as Team Tritium. You guys are platinum sponsors as usual, so we very much appreciate that. So I asked how do people reach out to you, but I tell you what, just go to the Control Trends Awards because Therese and Team Tritium and Niagara will be there. So Therese, thanks for taking time with us.
Well, tell Kevin, Mike, and Jim, and the whole executive crew out there, we said hello, and congratulations on the job.
I'm sorry about Brent today. He really wanted to do it, and I feel like, ugh.
Well, we'll get him on next time for sure. Yeah. Glad he's okay. So, all right, Therese, safe travels.
Bye, safe Therese. Travels. Thank you guys so much for making time for me.
Oh, you bet. Anytime, right. Therese.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. So, Kenny, man, I'm so happy for Therese, man. She just seems to be made for this role. She's so happy, and it's just great to see her doing so well.
It is, and she works hard, and she makes it look easy, but very intelligent woman, very, very well-read, and very, she shares information. Some of the early starts that we've had, where we saw something, something going on, couldn't figure out exactly what it was. Back when Google bought Nest, it was like, what the heck was that? Explain this to us. She's the one that brought in the contextualization, the concept. The first iOS in the household is the one that's going to win. And that's what all these gargantuan companies are fighting for is control of your household. And from there, it's going to have no choice but to expand into commercial buildings. And we tie that in with smart building efforts with RealCom and IBCon with Jim Young and Howard Berger, and all of a sudden started to make really big sense. All those dots started connecting, and we saw how our HVAC building automation world was connecting into a much, much larger sphere of influence, and the common denominator, the common currency, no matter how many times you say it, was data, and how everybody's got to get into the data flow, data stream. Then we have all our data debris, data garbage, data dumps,
dark data, light data.
I mean, so
polka dot data. So
that all comes from conversations we had probably about 5-6 years ago with Therese. Yeah.
No, it's absolutely so great to see her doing so well. Well, listen, although it was primarily a Honeywell week because Ken and I were down at Honeywell Momentum, there were other things going on in the controls world. Kenny, we had a couple of posts. Let's take it home with these last couple of posts.
We'll do very briefly, but very importantly, Project Haystack announces the 2019 Haystack Connect Conference. The dates have been established. It's going to be May 13th through the 15th at Paradise Point Resort and Spa in San Diego, California. That's Paradise Point Resort and Spa in San Diego, California in May. Should be an absolutely stunning venue. And they're looking for all the support they can get. Looking for sponsors. They're looking for speakers. And they're looking for contributions. I think the Haystack Connect, the most recent edition, still has time. So if you do write articles and do want to see your name get put up there, and you do believe you can influence people, influence the influencers, please get involved. Hit the link on our website there, Project Haystack, and it'll take you to the right place. And congratulations to John Petsy and Mark Peacock for just and Robin Bestel. Yeah. You just keep hammering out great stuff, and you change the industry. Whether people are going to realize that now or later, when N4 adopted the Haystack Conventions, and now we got J2 Innovations really getting down to basic templating, and we're seeing our industry change rapidly. It was going slow there for a while, but now we're going to see Haystack is not going to go away. It's going to become a standard, and we're going to all be able to use some tremendous applications because we've got the same tagging information is going to just make everything that much easier.
Yeah, I think again, when they're writing the history of the controls world in 50 years from now, I think Haystack's going to be one of those pivotal marks. So congratulations again to our friend Mark Peacock and John Petsy and the rest of the team at Project Haystack.
All right, and then we have a real nice post by Steve Guzzolimian, and the Optergy is really excited. They have put their time and energy, and this is the year of the controller. I don't think I've ever seen so many great products being introduced, and Optergy is going to be right up there. In fact, Steve Guzzolimian said here in an email to us that, guys, this is going to be an eye-opener, a mouth-dropper, because the P864, which is an edge controller, that it can do smart monitoring and control to any building anywhere in the world. The controller can operate on an enterprise IP network by adding it to a legacy, can reside and operate on an enterprise IP network or be added to any legacy backnet network or operate as standalone. And it's just, what he thinks now that the benefits that his Optergy controller, the P864, does is it reduces the number of SKUs. It is a very, very center field style hardware. And so your applications are only, again, to your own imagination and device, because he's got them down here as VAV. He's got them as plant controllers and also an IT device. I mean, so what people mean by OT device is instead of being contained or bookended in the HVAC parameters, where somebody they're looking for something on their to put on their network, and you tell them it's an HVAC controller, it by the definition of HVAC, it doesn't meet their spec or application, and they walk away. So we're seeing a lot of reiteration on IoT that's on a network device. So it's more than a controller; it's a device that you can use for basically anything that warrants, that needs inputs and outputs. And so it's a pretty cool thing. And congratulations to Stevie G, who's a Limian.
Stevie G, we call him the Space Cowboy, because I tell you what, this is not his first rodeo. It's a Steve Miller song I'm making reference to. Some people call me the Space Cowboy. Some call me the Gangster of Love. But it's not Stevie's first rodeo, man. He's been in the controls industry for a long, long time, knows his stuff, and this is a really cool product. And they're sponsored at the Control Trends Awards, which if you're not, there's still time to be one. And speaking of the Control Trends Awards, Kenny, nomination ballots are out and about. You can get them on the website. But the nomination period ends on Halloween night when Ken Smyers will be dressed up as Johnny Depp. So
we have one more reference. We got Siemens comes in as our final post this week. It's going to be on the DeSigo Control Point. Siemens has also got something very, very special that they're just delighted to share. And we'll be covering it more in depth next week, another post. But we're going to put the initial post up this week, so it falls into our episode 289.
Well, I tell you what, Kenny Smyers, I have seen you excited before, but this Siemens product, what you've told me about it, and I don't think I've ever seen you quite so excited about a product before.
Well, the thing about the single pane of glass, that's a big comment down there at Honeywell. In fact, day two, we had Kevin Smith down there talking about cybersecurity and also a single pane of glass, meaning that, the future is here now. And what people want is they want, everything on one smart device. And from there, you can go up into the enterprise level. We saw some applications that just quite frankly were scary, they're frightening. And I could see that the size of the iPhone is going to have to go get a little bit bigger, only because what you need to do, like you're not going to have another computer with it. You're going to have one smart device that's going to connect you to whether you're a facility manager or you're an IT or you're doing payroll. I mean, it's going to get that crazy crazy fast, crazy connected. But what Siemens has done now is they've taken some of the, for monitoring and management of a building management system already. Now they have the Siemens, you can go all Siemens deep into it using their controllers, or you can lay it on top of a BACnet system and it just reads everything up on the BACnet and gives you a magnificent display, a touchscreen display. So for those green screens that you need in lobbies or whatever, you could put it onto this smart touchpad and then project it to a 60 inch or 90 inch, whatever, how big they are, I don't even know. What happens is too that the people are realizing that the days kind of putting barriers to connectivity up are counterproductive, counterintuitive. And so if you start out open by design, open architecture by design, and again, you're playing friendly, you're saying that, If you're looking for best-in-class controllers or best-in-class displays, touchscreens, or whatever, we've got one of those too. And so it's another race for the small space. So it's designed for medium and small buildings, and we'll have more on it. And of course, you can check out the post.
Very, very cool. So there you have another week on Control Talk, Now Your Smart Buildings videocast and podcast. A special thanks to our guest, Therese Sullivan, the queen of Silicon Valley, and now I think the queen of Richmond too. So great stuff from her. And a special thanks to all our listeners and viewers and the people that came up to us at the Honeymoon Momentum and said they listened to our show. Man, we really appreciate all you folks, because that makes it worthwhile to us. So with that, remember, be bold, stay in control, stay relevant.
Indeed, Eric. Shh.